Sunday the 17th of February 2019, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Doctor's Orders. Sermon title, No One's Left Out. Bible reading, Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. Talk by Roger Whip.
Reading today from Luke 7, 1 to 10. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. Deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went to them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have thy come to under thy roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, whose soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. And this is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Oh, look, my wages, a penny on the here. I know I'm not a very good preacher, but am I worth more than a penny? I don't know. I'll get my rewards in heaven. Well, there you go. Victoria. Anyway, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for this wonderful testimony about the centurion. And it's my prayer this morning, Lord, that each and every one of us, including me, will have our faith strengthened by what we hear this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder when was the last time we was amazed at something. You know, we can be amazed with something that's spectacular. For instance, Maggie and I, when we visited the waterfalls at the border of Brazil and Argentina, was totally amazed. And occasionally, Craig Revel Horwood, the judge on Strictly Come Dancing, would say, amazing. Not very often, but when he felt something was really good, he would say that. And sometimes, when we don't expect from somebody what they say or what they do, we say that we're amazed at them. In my last talk here, I preached on Jesus preaching in the temple at the age of 12, and how the people were amazed at his knowledge and his ability. Now, here are a few facts that I consider to be amazing. The total weight of all the ants on Earth is greater than the total weight of all the human beings on the planet. In the human brain, if it was a computer, it would perform 38,000 trillion operations per second. The world's most powerful supercomputer, Blue Genie, can only manage 0.002% of that. A mouse can fit through a hole the size of a ballpoint pen. They can get into unimaginable places. I found that out only a couple of weeks ago when our dishwasher broke down. And the baffled repairman stripped it apart and he found that mice had eaten through some of the wiring. Yes, I was amazed, and I've got to say, a bit annoyed as well, because it cost me £165. You replace every particle in your body every 7 years. You are literally not the same person you were 7 years ago. Christianity is increasing in popularity amongst the Chinese youth. As many as 100 million people, or 7% of the population, have converted to Christianity. The city of Wenhong alone has more than 1,100 churches. Yet this is a country where Christians are still persecuted. Yet now, less than 2%, in fact more like 1% population of England, attend a Church of England. And churches are closing weekly. So what amazes you? What amazes Jesus? Well, only two things are listed in the New Testament that amaze Jesus. A lack of unbelief in Israel, mentioned in Mark 6, and then this centurion's faith. And it is amazing. You know, the centurion is a Roman. He's not a Jew. A centurion was a commanding officer of 100 men in the Roman army. Now, the Roman army, as we know, was an outside occupying army. The Roman government had invaded and conquered the land of the Jews. The centurion would have been in charge of Roman soldiers who had been left behind to maintain the peace and to see to it that all the Roman commands were carried out, often with brute force. They were a kind of military police force with complete authority. And as a result, many of the Jewish people hated the Romans. You can understand it. But this centurion was a man who looked beyond the prejudice and the hatred of the Jews that was directed at him from them. And he fell in love with them and their church, their God. Here, the centurion's servant is lying at the point of death. The centurion has the power of Rome behind him. But that's not much right, very good right now. You know, he had quite a bit of wealth, but that wasn't going to make much of a difference either. Now, the Romans believed in 12 gods, 6 male and 6 female. Did he turn to any of them for help? No. He had found faith in the only one true God. And he's heard about the amazing ministry and the power of Jesus Christ. Two more amazing things about the centurion. He built a synagogue. And he can't even go in that synagogue because he's not a Jew. It's forbidden. And it's a slave dying. When slaves are easy come, easy go. They're of no value, 2 to a penny. And yet he values the slave. It is indeed an amazing story. The centurion is amazed by Jesus' strength and purpose. He's amazed by Jesus' majesty. "No, I'm not even worthy to meet you face to face," he says. The centurion was amazed by Jesus' sovereignty as well. Now, the centurion was familiar with authority, and he knew Jesus had full authority over creation, over death, over sickness. The centurion has faith, and it's more than Christ has found even in Israel. Now, and he hadn't been brought up as a child to even know the Yahweh God of the Jews. But from what he had heard of Jesus, he realized who Jesus was. And there's no, if you can, in his request. Throughout his entire encounter, there isn't a hint of doubt. There's only faith. Faith in Jesus. Power to do the impossible. Faith in Jesus' place of highest honour. Faith in Jesus' authority over every situation. And faith moves God. Isn't that why we pray? And God responds to our faith. What made the slave well? The centurion's amazing faith. In Mark 6, Jesus was amazed by that lack of faith. But here he's amazed by the strength of the centurion's faith. You know, we can fully trust Jesus in our lives and with our lives. How strange that this Roman centurion would come to love the people he was sent to dominate and control. I say, most Romans despised the Jews. And yet this centurion developed not just a human bond, but an actual sacrificial love for the Jews. One way that this centurion showed his sacrificial love for Jesus was that he used his own money to build the synagogue for them in Capernaum. Based upon his attitude and actions, the Jewish elders thought highly of the centurion. In verse 4 it says, when they came to Jesus, they earnestly entreated him, saying, he is worthy for you to grant him what he's asking. I have to ask these questions. How many of us still amaze God in a positive way? You know, I'm sure that I amaze him more in a negative way. Although he wouldn't say it. So many times I've heard people say such things like, call yourself a Christian, Roger, and you do that. How did the centurion find God? Through the witness of the Jewish people. How good a witness are we as Christians in today's world? Certainly in our country, I would say quite unamazing. A report in 2016 published in the Guardian newspaper declares the number of people attending Church of England services each week has for the first time dropped below 1 million, accounting for less than 2% of the population, with Sunday attendances falling to 760,000 throughout the whole country. The statistics published reflect the Church of England's steady decline over recent decades in the face of growing secularism and religious diversity and the ageing profile of its worshippers. Numbers attending church services have fallen by 12% in the past decade to less than half the levels of the 1960s. Now, even since that report was published, just over nearly 3 years ago, there still is a downward spiral. Thankfully, here at St. Chad's, we seem to be bucking the trend as we see growth. However, we must not become complacent. And I have to ask the question, how much growth is due to new converts or those that have transferred from other churches? Something else that I wish to highlight from the centurion's actions is his amazing generosity of both financial giving in building the synagogue, but also his vulnerability. When Pastor Smith picked up the phone, Inland Revenue Investigator Jones was on the line. He said, is that Pastor Smith? He replied, yes, this is he. Oh, I'm calling to inquire about a member of your congregation, a Dr. Ship. Do you recognise the name? Yes, he's a member of my congregation. How can I be of service? Well, on the last year's tax return, the doctor claimed that he made a sizeable tax-deductible contribution to your church. Is it true? Oh, well, I'll have to ask the treasurer to verify the information for you. How much did Dr. Shipp say that he contributed? £25,000, answered Investigator Jones. Can you tell me if that's true? There's a long pause. Then the pastor replied, I'll tell you what, call me back tomorrow and I'm sure that that will be the case. Hopefully you give because you've been moved by the Holy Spirit, not fear of going to prison from the Inland Revenue. And you recognise that according to God's word, it is through the local church, that's us, that he plans to reach the lost world. All of us, to some extent, are aware of what God is doing and what he wants to do in this world. And as we remember the example of this centurion, I must ask, what is it that God is doing that you are excited about? What matters to you? What are you giving yourself to enthusiastically, if anything? You know, the synagogue in our reading was built post-haste by one man's commitment. Yet here, at St. Chad's, our building project started over 10 years ago. I was informed then, when we first started it up, that all weddings had been cancelled the next year as building work would surely be taking place. Now, although I applauded the leadership's optimism and enthusiasm, my realism doubted this achievement. See, I know Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither was my side extension of my house. But 10 years? You know, we're still no nearer or even started except for a few footings laid and very little money to push ahead. Another thing that amazes me about the centurion was his willingness to stand up and to be counted. Can you imagine the flack that would have been aimed at him? Paul, I'm getting terrible feedback here. If you don't think about it. You know, the flack would have been aimed at him from his fellow Roman soldiers. You know, it was bad enough for me when I was in the police force. Not only was he loving the enemy, but he was also funding their worship facilities. He was certainly placing more importance on the true God than the Roman ones. What startled, impressed, and amazed Jesus was the characteristics that anyone can have in their lives. Some think that an amazing faith is the ability to seem super spiritual, to perhaps do a miraculous. But miracles are something that Jesus can do at any time. And if any of us pray for people, it's not us that do the healing, it's through Jesus to God. The characteristics of an amazing faith, like that of the centurions, a faith that amazes Jesus, it's something that anyone can have with just a little effort. There are four strengths, I believe, to the centurion's faith. It caused this man to love across all borders. It caused this man to be excited, generous, and active in God's work. It caused this man to be able to approach Christ in great humility. It calls this man to be willing to trust in Christ alone. I close with three thoughts based on my opening comments. Can we become mouse-like Christians? No, I don't mean being timid and easily chased away, far from it, but able to get into unimaginable places, reaching out with the good news of Jesus with boldness, like people in China have done. You know, last night Maggie and I was at an 80th birthday party at one of our previous churches, and they had an amazing live band, 10 members, and they played a lot of soul music from the 60s and 70s and 80s, and they were amazing, not just musically, but all Christians, all 10 of them. And what they did, they were doing cover songs, but they were including Jesus in some of the lyrics. You know, when you think about it, mountain high, river deep, things like that, but they included Jesus in it, in every song. And they were not ashamed to confess it. And I thought, this is amazing. But apparently this group don't just do it in churches, they do it at pop festivals. And they're very popular. Do you know what? One gig that they do is in the drill at Hornchurch. You may not know it, but it's one of the grottiest pubs, or it was, in its day. All the hardened villains go there. And yet there they are, and they still do the same act. They confess their faith through their music. You see, no one is left out of God's plan for salvation. We are his servants to help and to encourage people to accept God's amazing gift. Secondly, physically, you are literally not the same person you were 7 years ago. How about spiritually? Have we changed? Would God be more or less amazed by our Christian journey now than perhaps 7 years ago? Are we closer to him than we were? Ants are, in a way, superior to humans. Ants can outwit, outlast, and outplay humans. Their complex, cooperative societies enable them to survive and thrive in conditions that would challenge an individual. They have good communication system based on chemical reactions. They are strong. They're able to carry over 50 times their own weight. They are well organised, with different roles within the colony. They have soldier ants. They have scout ants that search out for the food. They even have their own ambulance people. No, they don't drive vehicles and go, nick, 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 oh, 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 you know, they have sirens. But they're dedicated stretcher bearers to carry the ill or injured ants. They even have farmers. See, and likewise, to be a successful and amazing fellowship, we need to follow their example. To be strong, especially in faith and endurance, to be well organised, recognising, supporting and encouraging each other in our various roles within the church. We need to be good communicators. You know, there are times, and I'm not alone in this, I'm sure, I often wonder if the right hand actually knows what the left hand is doing. We fail dismally sometimes about the way that we communicate things. You see, one day, we will all meet face to face with the Lord. And how great it would be if he tells us that we were amazing. Amen.